The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of time with me here this morning. And, of course, this weekend, as you are listening here, is the final weekend, I guess the final day of the Iowa State Fair. And, you know, it's interesting how deep into the fabric of Iowa the State Fair is. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma, and there's a Tulsa State, so I grew up in Tulsa, and there's a Tulsa State Fair, and I think there's an Oklahoma State Fair as well. I'm pretty certain there is, which is interesting. But the Tulsa State Fair, I would say it's the same thing, but it's just not as, I guess, deep into the fabric of the state. I guess that's the only way I can... It's not the same level. And of course, you know, Oklahoma's definitely an agricultural state, but, you know, I guess because yes, there is an Oklahoma State Fair. I just looked. There is an Oklahoma State Fair in Oklahoma City or Norman in that area. And so I guess given that there's two of them, now, Oklahoma is probably a little more than twice the population of Iowa in about the same size of state. So it's definitely a bigger place. The Iowa State Fair, definitely, it's just part of the rhythm of summer, at least certainly 100% in the Des Moines area. It's lots and lots of kids I know, including my kids, work out there, make pretty good money for a short period of time. They make pretty good money, and it's nice because they get some responsibility and they get to work with the public, and you know, it's a good thing. My kids have never done anything other than work out there, as far as they've never participated in any of the fair activities, although my neighbor's daughter won the mom calling contest one year, which was funny. But it's just an interesting study if you look at Iowa and you look at the State Fair. I don't know. Iowa's a unique place. I'll just say that. I've been here coming up on, well, this will be 9 years. Well, 2020, this is 9 years. I arrived in 2016. And, you know, so this will be in a couple of years. In 4 years, this will be the place where I have lived the longest in my life. So I was born in a small town in northern Illinois, moved down to Oklahoma when I was 12, and I left Oklahoma when I was 22. So I was actually in Illinois longer, but it was baby years, so I don't remember most of it. But then I moved to Hawaii. I did medical school in Washington, D.C., so that was 4 years after college. I did my internship in Hawaii, and then my residency in New York City, so that was 5 years. So 4 years in New York, in Washington, D.C., a year in Hawaii, 5 years in New York, and then back to Australia for a year to do my fellowships. Then I lived in Kauai, in the Hawaiian Islands, for 10 years, and then Illinois for two, and then over here to Iowa for the last nine. And as I certainly will finish my career here, I'll probably be at St. Anthony's another 7 years, it looks like, till my youngest daughter graduates college, and then I can do some part-time stuff probably. But Iowa will be pretty soon here. So the longest I've lived anywhere in my life, I guess, is Illinois, which was 12 years. But that was, you know, like I said, infant days. And then 10 in Oklahoma, 10 in Kauai. So I was going to be the place where I have spent the most amount of time in my life, which is interesting because I never, ever would have thought in a million years, 3 years before I got to Iowa, heck, a year before I got to Iowa, I never would have thought that I would move here. I didn't know anything about Iowa. I knew that they grew corn. I remember the old Crispix commercial, and they would have people argue about whether the wheat side or the corn side, this was a breakfast cereal, whether the wheat side or the corn side was better, and you would have this farmer, and he'd say, "Son, we're from Iowa, and the corn side's crispier." And then Radar O'Reilly on MASH, who was from Ottumwa, of course. That was the fund of my knowledge of Iowa before I got here. And, you know, all of a sudden, I've essentially raised my kids here. My oldest daughter was 6 when we got here. She's going to be 17 this year. And I guess she must have been 7 when we got here then. And, yeah, it's just interesting how life takes you places. But Iowa is... You look around, and I've not just looked around, I've been around. There are places that are a lot more exciting and overall better to live. Yeah, maybe Perth, Australia was better so far. You know, it was just not tenable with my, you know, you'd have to just say goodbye to your family forever if you move a place like that, because you're not going to see them more than once every couple of years. Kauai, when I lived there, was pretty nice. And, you know, I got a very, very different experience living there because I was a doctor at a small hospital in a community. And you can imagine that they were very happy to have, for the first time, their own orthopedic surgeon at that hospital, they being the people that lived there, who were 95% local, you know, Hawaiian, Filipino, Japanese, a lot of local culture, a lot of luaus, big baby parties with 400 people there, weddings with 400 people there, everybody's cousins. I mean, imagine it's a small town island where nobody leaves, really, although that's changing with the economics. People are getting kind of forced out. And most people that come there are transient. In other words, I was there for 10 years, and that's pretty long. Most people that move there from the mainland, the average is 2 or 3 years because they think it's going to be postcard living, and it's not. And there's some tensions there and things like that. But anyway, I digress. But Iowa is definitely has been a wonderful place to raise our kids. And even though we're still not quite done, my oldest is starting her senior year. So she's literally less than a year left in the house, which is, you know, it's going to leave a big hole in my heart, of course. My youngest has 3 left, and yeah, it's just that season of life. It's sort of like where we are on the calendar. I guess I'm in August heading for September. but Iowa has been a tremendously good place for my family, and the state fair is just this so unique to Iowa thing, I guess. It's just interesting. I just think about these things, you know, when you go down there, and it's so Iowa. and yes, I have been, like I said, I grew up going to the Tulsa State Fair, but it really, now I'll say I didn't do much of the agricultural stuff at the fair when I was young. Sometimes every once in a while, I guess we would go see a rodeo or something, but we definitely didn't do more of the agriculture. So we would go, we would ride rides, we would play games, and we would leave. And probably went 1 year with my mom, and then the rest of the time with my friends. So kids that age, and now these were, you know, we were growing up in Tulsa, so none of us were farm kids, so we didn't have any connection to that. And certainly there's a lot of that at the Iowa State Fair. But as an adult, I always now am super interested in going and seeing just all the different cultural things that are going on there, all the, you know, the animals and you know, the the show horses, and it's just, it's really reflects. You can really see, you know, when I went into the cow barn, steer barn, I guess the bovine barn, I can't remember what to call it, but you know, and you see people there showing and sleeping there, and you're just like, man, that's a lifestyle. That's for sure a very different lifestyle. And there's a lot of that left here in Iowa. And I hope that, you know, hoping that the fair is part of continuing on, because we need small family farms. You know, we definitely need, I think that's just part of the fabric of American society that I would definitely not like to see go away. And hopefully kids are looking around, and that some of them can see the value of coming back to the farm and raising their farm kids the way they were raised. I just think it's a necessary addition to the culture of America as a whole is the agriculture and farming world. And it, you know, I don't want to see where it's all just giant AI run factory farming. I obviously here in Carroll see lots of farmers, and it's good to see, but I don't see enough young ones, but there are some. There might be even a few more than there were when I first got here 8 years ago, as maybe kids are realizing, hey, there's something pretty cool about it. And it's all about the rhythm, right? So you have the rhythm of the seasons, and that's kind of what I like about the state fair, is it's that rhythm. It's like, okay, kids are going to go up there and work. School's right around the corner. Volleyball practice has started. So yeah, and my mom is moving up from Oklahoma, and she is finally going to, because when my grandmother died back in May, we you know, had some discussions, and my mom has not been able to travel much because of my stepdad's health. So she's never seen the girls play volleyball. And she's never seen my youngest do synchronized swimming, and she's never seen my oldest do track. So she is super duper excited to get up here and re-engage, even though it's that fleeting few years. It's only one for my senior and three for my sophomore, but it's worth it to her for sure. And then, of course, it'll be good to have her around. And when I left Oklahoma, she didn't, and we've just not really lived near each other since then, and it's going to be nice. It'll be nice to have Nana around, and she likes to quilt, and she'll find her people here, and of course, then there'll be family. So yeah, that's the rhythm of life embodied, the rhythm of Iowa life, anyway, embodied by the state fair, and as it is, the change in seasons. Changes in seasons as I get older continue to have more of a psychological effect on me. Not a bad one, but just a, hey man, okay. I'm basically at the age where it's like, huh, I got about 30 of these left. And 55, 85 would be pretty well, if you're going to bet on how long I'm around, 85 is a very safe bet. And if you could have a 5-year spread on either side of that, you could make a whole lot of money, I think, because that's basically when American men pass, is right at that early to mid 80s. So you start thinking, gosh, I have about 30 of these left. I better make them count. But yeah, rhythm of life. And one thing that's in the rhythm of life in the fall is a huge return to sport. So I thought I would talk about some sports injuries, and, you know, we're starting to see them again. And certainly, you're always going to see more injuries in certain types of sports. Soccer is the worst for anterior cruciate ligament tears, and football is right around second, and basketball would be third. Don't see so many in softball or baseball. So anterior cruciate ligament is, if you're deep inside the knee, anterior means in front, cruciate means cross, because there's a posterior, which means behind. As we know, your posterior is your behind. So you have the anterior and the posterior cruciate ligaments. So cruciate means that they are crossing. And if you tear your either one of those, it needs to be fixed surgically. There's no way to treat that without surgery. So in the knee, the next is meniscus tears. So meniscus is the cushion inside the knee, and those can tear. And in young people, they're fixable. If you're over 30, we don't fix them because they don't heal back properly. If you're young and you have a very particular type of tear, we can fix it. And if it's not fixable, boy, you can go down quite a road, because getting rid of that meniscus, even though it's just a little cushion, can be really bad on the knee in the long term. And the MCL, the medial collateral ligament, collateral means there's one on each side, collateral, lateral means side, co means co. So there's one on the inside and one on the outside. It's typically the one on the inside that will tear. That actually can happen in conjunction with a meniscus tear and an ACL tear, which makes for a major, major reconstruction. But those are sort of the big, really bad knee injuries that you can get. And with ankles, it's typically a fracture, or you can have what's called a high ankle sprain where you have the ligaments are all torn. Those come back together with surgery typically and have a better longer-term prognosis than those devastating knee injuries. And then the next would be a shoulder separation. A shoulder separation where the collarbone hits the shoulder blade, it's called the acromioclavicular joint, because the acromion is the portion of the shoulder blade where the clavicle or collarbone touches, and there's a tiny little joint there. Doesn't move much, but it is an intersection between two bones, so it is therefore a joint. And if you separate your AC joint, it can be as mild as, hey, get back in the game, or as severe as you need surgery. Surgery is very rare, only when you blow out all the ligaments, so that's pretty rare to see that in, certainly in high school level sports. I never really see it. College and pros, especially down linemen and hockey players, people get bigger and the forces get stronger, and so you do see those more. So the other is a shoulder dislocation. Now that's where the shoulder actually pops out of the socket. And then when you pop it back in, usually it will not come back out. And pretty much almost all comers, you will treat that without surgery the first time. Now, in a younger patient under 30, if they dislocate a second time, I lean towards fixing it surgically, because the chances that then they'll continue to dislocate and worsen the anatomy as they come out every time is fairly high. So shoulder dislocations in younger people, you know, you let it go once, and then the second time, you're usually going to fix it. You can make an argument to fix it the first time. There's nothing wrong with it, especially in an athlete that's like, look, whatever I got to do, I don't want to miss next season. Okay, then that's certainly an argument to fix a shoulder dislocation. And then there's certainly various fractures in the hand and foot, and they can range from not a big deal to a very big deal to needing surgery. Typically don't see surgery in fractures in the hands and foot in kids or young adults. Can happen. And then you have all the overuse injuries, and there's thousands of those, you know, stress fractures, tendonitis, groin pulls, things like that. But as far as the big sort of season enders, and then of course, sorry, I didn't mention the Achilles. That's a huge one. Achilles tendon tears, don't see that much in kids. And then so that I was kind of thinking, when I was thinking sports, I'm thinking return. What I see around here is high school. There's no college out here. I don't see college athletes at all at this point in my career. So yeah, for the older set, the set that's going back to college level, and then certainly as you get older in the pros, that's when you see the Achilles, like Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers. But those are kind of the common ones that can be sort of season enders. The best way to avoid those is to be in good physical shape when you're playing. And they talk about plyometric exercises, which are a certain type of exercise that can really help you avoid injuries. But really, I mean, it's hard to get on a real well planned and executed plyometric program. You know, some people maybe can, but what I would say is hit the weight room, hit the sprints, get your body for your kid or grandkid, have them be in as good a shape as they possibly can, and that will help them, because your bones and ligaments actually grow and shrink depending on how much you use them. You know, it's not a lot, but it's enough that we can tell. And so as they're bigger and stronger, the less types of injuries you'll have. And then, of course, safety equipment. Been better at safety equipment in the last few years, and concussion awareness certainly came in big. I didn't mention concussions because it's kind of like not an orthopedic injury, but orthopedic surgeons are the ones that take care of that because they're usually the doctor on the field. May have to go deeper into sports injuries on another program, but I'm running out of my time for this weekend. And so hope everybody has enjoyed some time at the state fair and think about how nice it actually is to live in Iowa. It's a very nice place to live. And like I said, I've lived a lot of places and it's been pretty good here. So with that, I will be back next week and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.